As Brother Bill read for us from the book of Acts chapter 18, the man Apollos, who came to the regions of Ephesus and began to preach and teach, was described as an eloquent man. In fact, the text seems to indicate not just an eloquent man, but an eloquent speaker. He was very powerful and forceful in his speaking. He was very convincing in what he had to say. And that is certainly something that is useful for one who is going to preach the gospel of Christ. And it is something that those who speak the word should be striving to have in their own life. But we also read in that text that he was an eloquent listener. It doesn't say eloquent listener in that text, but it says he was an eloquent man. And we have the record there, as was read for us, how when Aquila and Priscilla pulled him aside and spoke to him more perfectly the way of the Lord, he changed. We talked last week about listening like Jesus, and we're going to expand on that this morning by looking at the idea of eloquent listening. We need to recognize that this is not something that comes easy. As we mentioned in our lesson last week, being a good listener takes work. We have to work at it. It's not something that comes natural for most people. Eloquence never comes easy. One example of old, if you've ever read about some of the ancient Greek orators, and that's the guys that stood up and spoke to great crowds, one of those is Demosthenes, I think that's how you pronounce it anyway. And he was renowned. But when you go and read about him, you find that he began with many difficulties. He had weak lungs. He had an unpleasant voice and ungainly manner. In fact, two of those three fit me pretty well. I got pretty strong lungs, but the rest, y'all can be the judge. But these were a problem for him being a great orator, and so he worked at it. He put out a lot of effort to strengthen his voice. He wanted to clear up his speech. He practiced with pebbles in his mouth to increase his clearness of speech. He shouted against the roar of the waves in an effort to give himself more strength and volume. He didn't have a microphone that he could hold or to have on a clip on a tie or in front of him so that he could broadcast his voice. He had to build up strength. And I just mention this because all of these efforts, all this effort he put forth made him one of the greatest orators of that time. And it's a reminder that there is work that goes into anything. And the same is true with listening. If we want to be an eloquent or a good listener, we're going to have to put effort into it. Listening well is an art. And it's not something that just automatically falls in our lap. So we want to expound on that idea a little bit this morning. And I'll tell you now, we've got two more sermons that have listening in the title. They're not all going to be talking about how to become a good listener. They're going to talk about a few other things. But we want to kind of look at this idea through the month. And the first thing that we want to consider when we talk about the need for eloquent listening and how to develop into a good listener is one thing we touched upon last week, and that is that good listening requires attention. Attentiveness is necessary if we're going to listen well. Jesus, in Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, is recorded as telling us, "Take care then how you hear. Give attention and be careful in your listening. Pay close attention to what's being said." If we're inattentive, if we're aimless in our listening, we're wasting time and it breeds boredom. Now, most of this lesson is developed from an article I got from Brother Billy Norris back several years ago, and the first time I used it, it was focused on listening to the preacher, listening to sermons, listening in Bible class. But the principles that are applied to that apply to all aspects of our life. And I want us to kind of spread this out. I'm not just talking about paying attention when somebody's preaching or to the teacher in comments in Bible class, we have to develop these sort of things for all of our listening. If we want our relationships to go well, as we considered last week, we've got to listen. And we have to be attentive in all our listening if we want it to be useful. Maybe one of the reasons we haven't had good conversations with other people sometimes is because we weren't paying close attention to what was going on. If we're not paying attention, we're not going to learn much about what the speaker has to say. In fact, we may get just enough to confuse the message. Have you ever been talking to someone, and after you get through, you think back, what is it that they said, and you hear a couple of words, and you say something about it, and then you find out, wait, I missed a word or two there, and I completely got the wrong idea about what they were saying. Could have been because you weren't listening carefully. Even with the best of attention, we're not always going to be able to understand completely. And if we're not paying attention, we're going to have a problem with remembering. And something that is essential to being an eloquent listener is being able to remember what we heard. This example here is not particularly about listening, but it is about paying attention to what you read and study. I recall back when I was in high school, sitting in my room working on a term paper for one of my high school classes. I cannot tell you what that term paper was about, even though I was studying to write an 8-page or 12-page paper for a class, probably an English class or something like that. That sounds like my English teachers. You know what I do remember from that time? That I was listening to the Doobie Brothers on the radio during part of that study. Out of all the study I did, all the writing I did on whatever that term paper was, actually, I used to think it was on King Tut, but I learned later that I did King Tut at a completely different time, so it couldn't have been it. I don't remember what the paper was about. I remember what I was listening to on the radio. Why? Because I wasn't paying attention to what I was reading sufficient to retain. We have to pay attention if we want to retain what we've heard. I never understood my dad's attitude about that when I was growing up. I don't see how you can study with that music going. And I said, Dad, it's not a problem. It just kind of helps me study. It doesn't help me study anymore. I understand. Dad didn't just have a one-track mind. Everybody develops one eventually. If we really want to understand what we're studying, we have to focus our attention on it so that we can remember what is said. One of the big problems that we have in our relationships is we hear things but we don't retain them. I've been reminded of that over the last several weeks because my wife is very helpful in instructing me in what I need to do in order to take care of certain things. And she starts telling me how to do this and how to do that. And she gives me a list of things. And when I get started with them, even though I thought I was paying close attention to what she said, I probably had five other things on my mind because I have to go back and say, okay, tell me again what I need to do. Give it to me. Give me this step and I'll come back and check about the next step when I get through with this one. We have to pay attention so that we can retain what we've learned. And this is of utmost importance in regards to our study of the Word of God. We talk a lot about the need to read God's Word. You just sit down and read from the Word. But it takes more than just reading through the Word to retain those things. We need to give attention to what's being said. Over the last month or so, I've been trying to concentrate a little more on the minor prophets. And I've taken a minor prophet and I've read that entire book every day for a week. And by the time I get to Friday, I know about how much longer is left in my reading because I can remember some of the things that I've read. But I just got through reading Malachi last week, and I don't know. If I sat down and started to read Amos this week, I might remember what's going on through there. I'm not sure how much I retained because I was just reading, and there were other things going on. When we let things take our attention away, even for a moment, we lose part of what we've heard. Learning to be a good listener means that I have to work on paying attention and keeping what I've read or heard in mind. They say if you want to remember someone's name after they've introduced themselves to you, you need to repeat it back to them 3 times. I think I have to use 5 or 6 times in order to keep it in my brain. But we need to do those things that are necessary to help us retain. First, it starts with attention. And then it starts with retaining those things. Remembering. And yes, I put the word remember up there rather than retention or retain. Because that's a word we all understand. I was afraid if I said retention, somebody might think about tightening the belt back up again or something. We hold on to those things. We don't let them slip away. We can only do that as we pay attention to what's going on. The psalmist says in Psalm 119 and verse 11, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You may have heard that verse a time or two before. I hope you have. I hope you repeat it to yourself regularly to remind you that we need to retain God's Word in our heart. We need to think through. When we're listening, we need to pay attention. In fact, it does good to talk about things after we've heard them, after we've studied them, after we've read them, because that helps us to retain them. Somebody said that if you write things out, you remember them better. I would have to remember them better if I wrote them out because I wouldn't be able to read them again. But spending more time in those things. One of the pieces of advice that are given to parents, especially of young children, is when you go home from services, talk about the lesson or the Bible class lesson while you're traveling back home. Talk about it over the meal after you get home. If we go back to the Old Testament, we find the instruction that God gave to the nation of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy. He said, talk about it when you rise up, talk about it when you sit down, talk about it when you eat, talk about it when you're walking, talk about it before you go to sleep. Why? Because we need to pay attention and remember, and repetition helps us to do that. It's essential to our soul that we work on attention and remembering what we read and hear from the Word of God. But we also need to recognize, and I think we generally see this as a whole, that we have to use judgment in our listening. We have to make judgments. Jesus says, pay attention to what you hear, or other versions render that, take heed what you hear, in Mark chapter 4 and verse 24. In other words, stop and think about it. How does this apply? Is this something I need to give attention to? Is this some instruction that doesn't apply to me? We need to be judicial in what we hear, both in the speaker and in what they speak. That's what we read about in Acts chapter 17. The Bereans are referenced as being more noble. The Jews in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if those things were so. They checked to make sure. They judged what Paul had to say based on what had been revealed in the Word of God. They made judgments. That's exactly what that is telling us. They had to judge what was being said. And we need to recognize that. We can't accept someone's word just because they're a great guy. There's been any number of men who were good guys, who were even preachers of the gospel, who strayed off into false teaching. And some people look and say, but I can't believe he'd be teaching me wrong because he's such a great guy. That's the wrong attitude. The Bereans didn't even accept Paul, an apostle, because he was a great guy. They accepted his words because they matched what Scripture said. You know, we have to make judgments even in our everyday conversations. If we want our relationships to go well, we have to listen to what's being said, give attention, and think it out. Make judgments. Is this something that I need to act upon right now? Is this something I just need to hold on to that I might need to reference later on? We have to make judgments in our conversations all the time. And we can't make these judgments if we're not giving attention. And if we're not hanging on to the things that we know, one of the common jokes about the husband-wife relationship is that when we start talking about something, the wife starts bringing up things that happened years ago. And the husband has no idea what she's talking about because he's already completely forgotten. And we laugh at that because it's presented as a joke, but sometimes that's a little more truthful than we would like to think. And maybe that's a failing that we have because we're not keeping things in mind that might be helpful later on because we didn't judge them important at the time. When we're talking about the Word of God, though, everything about God's Word we have to hold on to. The judgment call with God's Word is, if God said it, I need to remember it. Because I never know that when I'm reading on something else, I might need this knowledge in order to understand how to apply something that I just read today. One of the things that has been helpful from time to time in reading and studying Scripture, and I've heard several folks talk about this, is generally they read a chapter in the Old Testament, read a chapter in the New Testament, or follow a reading plan that is in both the Old and New Testament. And you get a little bit of a new insight in that. You grasp a few things in the New Testament that you might not have grasped if you weren't reading over here in the Old Testament. There's so many connections between the New and Old. Remember I showed that graphic that looks like a weird rainbow that's got all the connections from Old and New? And we've talked several times as we've studied through the books of Judges and 1 Samuel, and we'll be getting into 2 Samuel, and we're going to run into even more then, of things that are happening there are kind of shadowy about things that we know of in the New Testament. Or things that are taking place there that, because we've already read ahead and we know what the New Testament has to say, we see how they better apply and what is going on with that. Folks, we're making judgments in that. We're using our mind to reason through. And we're making those connections. We need to be careful about what we listen, and we need to be careful to reason through what the Word of God says in regards to what someone may say to us or what we may read in some article. It doesn't matter who it is that's speaking or how long we may have listened to him or her. They have to be compared to God's Word if we're going to accept it as gospel. That's what John said in 1 John 4 and verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test or judge the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. We need to use judicious listening. Use judgment in what we read and hear, especially in our study of the Word of God. But it applies in our relationship conversations as well, whether it's our family or our neighbors and friends, our co-workers, our boss. It requires work. Of course, something else that's essential to listening well is being willing. As My dad used to say, and I'm sure it's not original with him, you've got to get your want to fixed. You've got to want to listen. You've got to want to hear before you're going to listen well. And that's probably why I got in so much trouble with Dad growing up. I didn't want to hear what he had to say. And so I didn't pay close attention a lot of times. I was forming my response while he was talking. So I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't going to remember. I wasn't judging the importance of what was being said, and I didn't want. I was failing in all aspects. And I'm afraid sometimes we fail in these aspects in regards to the Word of God. We listen because we're forced to, or because we think we have to. We need to have a desire. When we hear preachers and Bible class teachers and parents telling us that you need to read the Word of God regularly, you need to spend time in God's Word, what they're saying is you need to have a desire to hear what God says. And that desire needs to be stronger than any other desire regarding our listening at all. The only thing that should come close to it is paying attention to our spouse and our family. Listening and desiring to listen to God is of utmost importance. And we find in the book of Acts several instances of those who were willing listeners. One that comes to mind almost immediately when we think about desire to hear is Cornelius. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 33, we read, Cornelius says, "I sent for you at once." Why? "Because the angel told me that you would tell me something I needed to know. I sent for you at once. You've been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we're all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord." Peter, we are here so we can listen. We want to know what God has revealed to you. I'll tell you, that's one of the questions that's in my mind every time it comes time for a service where we learn from God's Word, whether that's worship service with the preaching and song singing and the other things that we do and honoring and praising God through the Lord's Supper and prayer, or it's a Bible class. Are you here because you want to hear the Word of God? I've been associated with a lot of people in the past that were just there because they were supposed to be there. They didn't have a desire to hear. The person who has a desire to hear will give much more attention to the listening. And now let's switch over and apply this in our relationships. It could be that part of our problem in our husband-wife relationship is that sometimes we don't want to hear. Or at least we don't want to hear all about it. We want to hear what the problem is and then just go fix the problem without considering what caused the problem. Or are we so busy with work or our own desires and wants and such that we just don't have time to listen? I think that's sometimes the problem we have with our children. We want them to listen to us, but we don't always want to take the time to listen to them. And here again, I'm preaching to a choir that's already retired, right? But the same can be said with our grandchildren. We need to listen. We need to have a desire to hear. Whatever the relationship, but especially in regards to the gospel. We have several examples of that. We mentioned Cornelius. What about the Ethiopian eunuch? In Acts chapter 8 and verse 31, he said to Philip, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. "Philip, I need somebody to tell me about this. I can't understand it on my own. I want to hear what you have to say about the Word. I have a desire." Philippian jailer. All the things that were going on with Paul and Silas in prison, singing psalms at midnight and the earthquake, and everything happens, that Philippian jailer came to them and said, "I want to hear. What must I do to be saved? You've got something I need to know. I want to hear. I want to listen." What do you have to say? In one of Paul's early missionary journeys, he and Barnabas went into a city and started talking to them about the Savior. Everybody was great. Everybody heard. They said, come back the next Sunday or the next Sabbath. They were at the synagogue. Come back the next Sabbath. We want to hear some more. And they came, and everybody in town wanted to hear. And so they began, but the Jews started complaining. They didn't want to hear anymore. And Paul said, since you've decided it's not for you, we'll go to the Gentiles. You don't want to hear? Then we'll focus our efforts elsewhere. You see, if we don't want to hear, folks will stop talking. Especially in our family relationship, if we start noticing that someone's not listening and doesn't have a desire to listen to what we're saying, we'll just stop talking. I think that's a problem in a lot of husband-wife relationships. One or the other, or both, have just gotten to the point it's not worth trying to talk anymore because nobody's listening. I know that's why we have what's sometimes referred to as a generation gap between parents and children. Because parents begin to think, well, they're just not interested in hearing what I have to say. They don't want to listen. And we still try to talk because we're parents. We're supposed to. But then when it's the other way around, and the children say, my parents won't even listen to me. Then they go to their peers, and they don't get good advice. And when I think about that, I'm reminded of Solomon's son. He got the advice of Solomon's advisors, men who were wise, but they didn't tell him what he wanted to hear. So he went and got advice from his peers. And we know how that worked out. He lost over half the kingdom. There has to be a desire to listen. Listening takes work. But we also need to understand the need for courage in listening. Well, maybe not so much courage in listening as courage in applying what we hear. If we go through all these steps, we pay close attention, we remember what's said, we use good judgment in regards to what we listen to and who we listen to, and we have a desire to hear, but when we hear, we're not willing to act on what we have learned. What good was it to listen in the first place? How are we any better off by listening? We need to have the courage to act on what we've heard. Well, that's one of the things about King Saul that we learned as we were studying in 1 Samuel. One of the first instructions that Samuel gave to King Saul, an instruction of the Lord, was go and utterly destroy the Amalekites. Wipe them and everything they have completely out. Very clear instruction. Saul knew exactly what he was supposed to do. But he didn't have the courage to carry it out. In chapter 15 of verse 24, Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. I didn't have the courage to do what I was told to do when other people objected. And he paid a dear price. In fact, where we're studying in our Sunday night class, we're fixing to come up on the ultimate price that he paid for not having the courage to do what he knew he was supposed to do. It cost him not just his kingdom. It didn't just cost him his legacy. It cost him his life. And the life of his children. Saul's lineage was almost completely wiped out because he didn't have the courage to act on what he'd been told. On the other side of the story, we have the Ethiopian eunuch that we referenced a moment ago. He had the courage to obey. He was a man of great position. He had the queen of Ethiopia over him. He was submitting to her. Maybe he could have stopped and thought, well, you know, I'm not sure what she would think about that. Or he could have considered, like so many today do, I don't know how that's going to affect my position. But he didn't do that. He heard the Word of God. He listened. He wanted to hear. He listened. He gave attention to it. And he had the courage to act on it immediately. You remember, they're riding down through there on the chariot, and he said, hey, there's some water. Is there anything to keep me from being baptized? Philip said, no. You believe? You can't. And that's exactly what they did. Now, we don't have recorded what all went through his mind, but he had the courage to act on what he had heard. He listened attentively to what Philip had to say, and he was obedient. Now the question comes to us, do I have the courage to act on what I hear? And preaching to an assembly of Christians, I recognize we're not encouraging people to become Christians. We're encouraging people to act upon what the Word of God tells us. Is there something in what God's Word has revealed to you that you realize now you're not doing? Because you see, the other part of eloquent listening, we pay attention, we remember, we use judgment, we have to have a desire, we have to have courage to act. We need to realize that it is personal. It requires me to take action. Whether we're talking about our reaction to the gospel or our reaction to something that's said in one of our relationships, it's on me to take action based on what I hear. We've already alluded to the fact that sometimes we don't take the right action because we're not paying attention. We don't hear well, or we don't remember, or we didn't use good judgment with what was said. But when we do all these things, we need to recognize that there's a responsibility for me to take action. And certainly, that's true in regards to the Word of God. If I'm not willing to personally apply what I heard to me, what good did it do for me to listen? If I read something in the Word of God and it tells me that I need to adjust my attitude, I need to adjust my action, I need to adjust my relationship, maybe even make a complete 180-degree change, and I don't do it, what good did listening do for me? Is it really good listening? Well, it may be good listening, but it's not very courageous. And it's not very personal. It seems, I listen to these things. How many times have we heard, how many times have preachers heard somebody say, well, I wish Brother so-and-so had been here. That'd have been a good sermon for such and such a family to hear. And you know what my thought is just about every time that I've heard that phrase? I'm glad you were here. I'm glad you were here. We don't need to worry about whether somebody else needs that lesson. I mean, they may need it, and we may be able to help them know it. But what we need to first do is, how does that apply to me? Does that fit me? And so this morning, when we think about these things, when we think about the work that's necessary to be a good listener, and as we think some more about listening in the coming weeks, I want us to think, am I listening? Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but over the last several months, I've tried to make a concerted effort. Rather than to say, what should you do? I say, what should I do? Because I want us to understand, we're applying these things to self. I can't control you. All I can do is point you to the Word of God. And I hope that I'm doing a decent job of that so that it encourages you in hearing the Word of God. But we need to recognize the personal responsibility. When Aquila and Priscilla pulled Apollos aside and explained to him the Word of God more perfectly, he didn't at least as we've got recorded in Scripture, he didn't come back and say, yeah, but this is what I heard. This is what I believe. He said, how does what they're saying apply to me? What do I need to do because I have this new information? And he acted on it. The Ethiopian eunuch didn't say, well, I wonder what the queen's going to say if I do this. He said, how does this apply to me? And so our question this morning is, am I working to be a good listener? When I'm reading the Word of God, am I giving attention and remaining in it so that I can retain those things and keep them in my heart? And am I applying them? When I'm listening to someone else, am I just accepting what they say because they said it? Or am I going and checking and making sure? I'll tell you what, if the Bereans needed to check Paul, everybody needs to check Dan. We need to verify. We need to use judgment. And then we need to apply. It takes courage and it's personal. And so this morning, if you look and find there's things that you read in the Word of God that need to be corrected in your own life, we urge you to do that. Ask God to forgive you for failing in that or for engaging in something that you shouldn't be doing. Seek forgiveness. He's promised that He will forgive. In fact, John tells us He'll wipe it out as if it's never been. That's the idea there in 1 John 1 and verse 9. As children of God, we have that privilege of prayer and forgiveness when we confess our sins and turn from them. If there are things that are public, they need to be acknowledged publicly and corrected publicly. And certainly there's opportunity for that for brethren here and now. I'm more than willing to pray with you and for you on your behalf to find forgiveness. If you're not a child of God, why not? Have you heard the Word? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Do you believe He died on Calvary's cross and was raised again the third day? That He came from the tomb? And that He ascended to sit on the right hand of the Father? Then you know what you need in order to be saved, in order to be pleasing in His sight. Act on it. Confess your belief in Jesus. Turn from following self and following the world to follow God alone. And you can be buried in baptism, buried with Christ, and rise up out of the watery grave of baptism, a new creature, a child of God, a part of His family, a member of the body of Christ, submitting to the head. And we can assist in those things in any way. Time and opportunity is yours. Come while we stand and sing for your encouragement.